Hey, welcome everybody to the Rebel Room. It's Ray Brewer along with Mike Jamala, our UNLV athletics coverage team here at the Las Vegas Sun. And Saturday, the Scarlet and Gray, the Rebels, are in Northern California to take on the Cal Golden Bears in kind of a prove-it game for the Rebels. They look great in week one against Idaho State. But it was Idaho State, and remember Tony Sanchez's UNLV football program 6 or 7 years ago put up a similar beating, probably scored more points against Idaho State. So it's fun to react. It's fun to get on the bandwagon. But I think Saturday will probably the true test to see where UNLV is at moving forward, Mike.
Huge game, like at the risk of, sounding like I'm, coming out too hard. That this is a huge game. Like if they win this game, they're pretty much, that says you're for real. And everything that we saw in the first game is true. Because like you said, a lot of it is, you don't discount it, but you sort of skeptical about it because it's against Idaho State, which is not really even a team. But if you can do it against Cal, you're 2-0, you've got a decent win under your belt. You're in great position for a really, really good season. So I there's a lot riding on this game.
Okay. So let me set you up for something here. Case Kiefer, our colleague over here at the Sun, the assistant sports editor.
Love Case.
He does weekly picks for football and the NFL, sports book picks, right? Mm-hmm. Do you ever read his column? Do you respect his opinion in his analysis?
I do respect his opinion.
Okay. So let me read to you his analysis on the UNLV game. I'm sticking to a prediction I made in January that the Scarlet and Gray would win this game outright, and it's not just stubbornness. Cal has issues all over its roster and has seen recruiting fall off to where its talent level isn't much different than UNLV's. UNLV plus 13 to cover. But Kiefer thinks they could win straight up.
I think they can win straight up. Like I'm with him there. I watched the first half of Cal's game, their opener last week. UNLV had a bye. Cal was on the Pac-12 network. So I watched the first half. They didn't look good.
Against Cal Poly, right?
Against UC Davis.
UC Davis, same thing for me.
Yeah, they didn't look impressive. And I would say, like, if you want to jump right into the opponent analysis, I think the biggest thing that's working in UNLV's favor is their passing game. The Cal passing game, I don't think, is one to be afraid of. And more importantly, their quarterback is just not accurate. There were times when he had open receivers and he just could not deliver the ball to them in a catchable manner. So if you're UNLV, what more can you ask for than a quarterback that's going to get your defense off the field a couple times just by not being able to deliver, a third down pass, So I think I can see a scenario where, each team gets 10, 11, 12 possessions. If your quarterback is just missing a couple third down passes, that's a big deal. If you let UNLV's defense off the hook, I could see a scenario where they, Doug Brumfield and company, go out and score enough points and they can score an upset. Cal did not impress me. UNLV impressed me, even considering the opponents they played. UNLV impressed me more than Cal did.
Yeah, and I think the thing that, again, I don't want to overreact too much on one game considering the opponent, right? Because that wouldn't be, I don't know how fair that would be, right?
Sure.
But I will tell you, lost in that Idaho State game was what I thought a pretty darn good performance from sophomore Ricky White, who is a portal transfer from Michigan State. The guy hauled in 8 receptions for a 182 and 2 touchdowns in the first half, right? And UNLV also has Kyle Williams, who 2 years ago was the Mountain West Freshman of the Year, returns punts, is believed to be their best wide receiver. And then Jeff Weimer, who had 9 catches for $139. Again, considering the opponent. But to me, I love what Ricky White brought to the field. You could tell the guy was in the Big Ten. And I think he's the type of guy that's going to go into Cal and be able to find some holes in that defense and get open for Brumfield. And if he's as accurate as he was against Idaho State, again, considering the opponent, UNLV's got a chance.
Yeah, Idaho State has no chance of covering Ricky White. Ricky White could have gone for 500 yards receiving in that game if they left him in to play 4 quarters and they sort of made a point to feed him the ball. There's just no one on that roster who could single or double team him and hold him quiet. So Cal will put up a more of a challenge than that. But the thing that I would focus on that doesn't really depend on your opponents is just when UNLV had open receivers, Doug Brumfield was hitting them in stride. And I saw when Cal had open receivers, their quarterback was not hitting them. And so, you know, regardless of who's trailing in coverage, an open man is an open man. And I think UNLV's got the better quarterback just based on, I know you said don't overreact to one game, but that's all we've got to go on at this point. I know Doug Brumfield this will only be his 4th career start. So it's not like although he's been around for a while, it's not like he's an established guy, but to me, he looks like the better quarterback. And if you go into a game with the better quarterback, you've obviously got a chance to win, I would say. So yeah, the offense was against, if you're a team that has a good offense, then that's what you expect them to do against a team like Idaho State, 50 points in the first half. And they did that. So I would say that they're good offense. There's a reason to believe in them.
Yeah. So the last time we did a podcast, Mike, we didn't know who the quarterback would be. They were still choosing between Bailey, yep, Brumfield and Friel. And Brumfield gets the nod, and I think he put the rest, the whole who's the quarterback at UNLV going to be. Now, of course, UNLV has not had a quarterback start every game in a season since like Jason Thomas in 98 or 99. So we're talking a 20-year sample size of somebody getting hurt. Brumfield, of course, injury prone. He's just a skinny guy. So Bailey will probably need to win some games for UNLV sooner than later. But I tell you what, to have that question be put to rest and out of the way, to me, I think would bring some clarity and give Brumfield more pathway to first team reps than, you know, in August. How do you think that's going to help the program moving forward, that they have an established guy who, from all intents and purposes, is going to perform?
It's an interesting thing to consider because from the outside, there's sort of two tracks. And the first track is like from the outside perception of the media, like Marcus Arroyo can go the entire offseason without naming a starting quarterback. But if he won't announce it before opening kickoff of the first game, that's one thing. But if the players themselves know throughout training camp, like, oh, Doug Brumfield is a starter and that's how we're practicing every day. And so if they know it, it's one thing, but I don't think they knew it until the week of the game. So if that's what Doug Brumfield is able to do, splitting reps, sort of being unsure of himself, competing for the job, you know, up until the Wednesday or Thursday before the game, then you've got to believe that, unless you've got questions about his work ethic or his drive, which I don't, he's given me no reason to question him there. You've got to think that once he's entrenched as a starter and he's the man and he's got the complete control and they sort of, you know, tinker and sort of mold the offense around his strengths and he develops more of a rapport with all the new players, you've got to think that his play will improve even from here. So I'm a big believer in, you want one quarterback, you want him to be the guy, you want him to know he's the guy throughout the offseason. Quarterback competitions, they're okay if you really don't know who the guy is. But at this point, if you know it's Doug Brumfield And I think Marcus Arroyo did this in his press conference this week. He for the first time since I think he's been the coach at UNLV in 3 years, he came out and said, like, Doug Brumfield is the starter. The other guys aren't going to get reps in practice. We don't want them to play in the games. We have no plan to, like, get them any snaps in the games or during practice. Like, Doug Brumfield is the guy. So I do think that is significant that it's the first time in 3 years they've got a quarterback. He's young. He's still only a sophomore. He threw 4 touchdowns, 350 yards in week one. Like, people should be excited about it. I think he should get better from this point in the season on.
Yeah, and I think that the program is finally in a spot where they can take some steps forward, especially when you look at the schedule in the Mountain West. I mean, Hawaii's the worst team the league has seen in decades. Their roster was just decimated, and they're losing by 60 points to everybody. So theoretically, you could mark that down as a win for UNLV. Reno 2-0, Mike, 2-0 for the Wolves.
Believer?
Huh?
Are you a believer in the Wolfpack?
I mean, I think UNLV is better than them this year, but they strung together a good win against New Mexico State. And last weekend in their home opener, they destroyed somebody. Maybe they were playing Cal Poly. I can't remember who they were playing, but they destroyed somebody. Sure. And their defense is better than I thought. For whatever that's worth.
We're recording this on a Wednesday. I've just put out a story about sort of speaking to this. About the overall schedule of the Mountain West. And the story is basically the point of it was, if UNLV beats Cal to improve to 2-0, they're basically guaranteed to make a bowl game, because 16 of the last 17 Mountain West teams to start 2-0 in a year have gone on to qualify for a bowl game, which means if you're good enough to win your first two games, and then you've still got 8 games against Mountain West competition remaining, you will get to 6 wins. It's pretty much guaranteed. So yeah, if UNLV can win this game, there are going to be enough winnable games on the schedule left, especially when you get into league play, that this could end up being like a pretty exciting season. Like, am I getting way ahead of myself in heading into week two?
Yeah. And I think, let's not forget one simple fact in the history of UNLV football. The program has never played in consecutive bowl games. So anytime they do play a game that's not scheduled when they arrive for the first day of camp, it's a successful season. Like, literally, the Rebels could be in the Hall of Fame, the school Hall of Fame, if they go to a bowl game. Like, if you're going to put a football team in, like, does the Jason Thomas team that – rallied to get to a bowl and then beat Arkansas, they're like the best team in school history. They were like 8-5 or 8-6. You know, I mean, I still think that North Texas game is important, because say they do beat Cal this weekend, or whatever happens this weekend, you know, you definitely want to have a winning record as you continue to evolve forward. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe they beat Notre Dame, Mike.
I'm not.
Maybe they go into South Bend. Touchdown, Jesus. I don't know.
I'm not ready to go that far, but I agree that if you're 2-0, if you're 2-0 after beating Cal, and then you come home to play North Texas with a chance to go 3-0, all of a sudden, you're staring at the potential for like a magical kind of season, like. Because that North Texas game looks winnable. You're at home. You're coming off a big like win over a Pac-12 team, not the best team in the Pac-12 by any means, but a chance to go 3-0. Like, I know they're only 1-0 now, and they haven't beat a single Division I team yet. So we're giving them like all these additional wins that they haven't come close to earning yet. But I'm just saying, like, my story today was kind of just sort of priming the pump. I know that people are just skeptical in general of UNLV football. And they'll always say, oh, it's the same old Rebels. Players aren't good enough. The coaches are going to be fired. The program doesn't have any money. It's another 2-10 season in the making. Yeah, they beat a non-division one team. They've got to prove it to me. But I was trying to say in that story, like, if they beat Cal, they will pretty much have proven it at that point that they are for real and that you have to take them seriously, because they will go to a bowl game if they win on Saturday. I'll come out right now and I'll say that. Like, if they beat Cal, they're going to a bowl game.
But let's take it one step further. If they beat Cal and then they beat North Texas here and they're 3-0, name me another team in the league that you're afraid of. Like, San Diego State lost to Arizona pretty handedly, right?
Boise State went down.
Boise State is...
Who did Boise State lose to?
They lost at Washington? No, at Oregon State.
Okay.
So, I mean, tough opponents, obviously, for Boise and San Diego State. But, I mean, the league is historically down, right?
Yes, the Mountain West is not a juggernaut league. And that's sort of what I'm saying. Like, if you get two wins right off the bat, like, you can find four wins in the Mountain West schedule, at least. Even if you're not for real, you can still find a way to win four of those games and go to a bowl. So, yeah, San Diego State on the road, UNLV kind of historically plays them tough, as strange as it sounds. Look at the rest of the schedule, like Air Force at home.
I mean, for me, this is like, we went from thinking in the back of our head, I mean, they could win the league. Am I crazy?
I want to see them win some Mountain West game first. I'm sort of just positing the scenario that if they beat Cal, they'll win four Mountain West games. Like, they'll go to a bowl. I'm not sure I'm ready to announce them as a league contender, but I will agree with you that the league is down. And if you go 2-0, there's not enough competition in the Mountain West to keep you out of a bowl game. That's what I'll say. And that would be a huge win for Marcus Arroyo. If they go 6-6 and they're playing in a bowl, that is a huge, huge turnaround. Like, they were 2-16 in his first 2 years. You know, they lost like their first, 16 games under him. So to go from that to in one offseason, say you go 6-6 and you make a bowl game. Then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we had this turnaround from historically bad winless season in 2020 to now we're in a bowl game. Our quarterback's a sophomore. Our best receivers are two sophomores or a guy with that much eligibility left. They'll be in a really good place, like, if they can somehow pull it off. And I think it all comes down to this game this week at Cal. Like I said, if you win this game, you are rolling. They are rolling out the red carpet for you to play in the postseason. So beat Cal this week, and then this podcast will be very, very interesting next week.
Exactly.
Not that it's not interesting this week, because this is a very interesting podcast as we're recording it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So at least we have some enthusiasm, and then hopefully that leads to more people being at games, right? If they're 2-0, could they see a spike in attendance for the North Texas game?
That's a good question. I would say probably not. It might, if you end up going on like a great season where you end up, you know, 8-4 or something, and you're playing meaningful games in November, you may see an uptick. I've always been one to think that you always see that bump the following season. Like, if UNLV basketball goes back to the Mountain West tournament, back to the NCAA tournament this year, you'll see the attendance respond the following season. When people have had a chance to process it and they want to get on board, you will obviously see an uptick as the season goes on if they're good, but probably not super meaningful increase, I would say, because it takes people a while to realize it's happening. The sort of casual fans. But I feel like we're both going like super overboard positive mm-hmm. with in anticipation for this week. What do you think is like, what could go wrong? Because I've got a scenario in my head where it's like, if they lose and they're not competitive and Doug Brumfield plays poorly, I'm not sure it opens up the quarterback conversation again, but it does sort of stem, you know, whatever momentum you've built. But I don't know. What do you like, realistically, is there like a best case, worst case, middle case? Like, what do you think is going to happen this weekend? What do you think is the most realistic possibility?
I mean, the worst case scenario is they come out and they lose by double digits and they just look bad and they can't move the ball. And then Brumfield goes from being the guy to, hey, maybe we should have went with this four-star from
Tennessee, Bailey.
Tennessee. So, and now all of a sudden people are, you know, now all of a sudden the one guy's looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, I agree. That's the worst case scenario. But I think Doug Brumfield played well enough in week one that even if he's bad and lose and they lose this week, it's not going to reopen that competition. I think it'll take more than one bad game for that to become an ongoing concern again. So even the worst case is not that bad. UNLV positioned themselves that by winning in week one. Like if they... I mean, it sounds kind of silly to say in the aftermath, but if they had somehow found a way to lose that game against Idaho State, which would have been crazy, then you're setting yourself up for all these kind of horrific scenarios. But just by taking care of business, I feel like they've given themselves enough of a buffer and enough cushion that you can survive a loss at Cal. Even a bad loss, you know, if they go out and they lose 38-10, like, okay, they're 1-1. Now the season begins. You played one, you had one blowout win, one blowout loss. Now what's your middle ground? So maybe I'm just feeling optimistic today. Maybe I'm just in a good mood, but I think the best case is really, really good for them this week. And I think the worst case is not so bad, if that makes sense.
So you're looking for a moral victory.
I don't think it would be a moral victory, but I think it would be more of like a corrective measure. It wouldn't be like, oh, it's a disaster. We got blown out at Cal when we had a chance to go 2-0 and pretty much lock up a bowl appearance in week two. Let's fold the team and let's play musical chairs at quarterback and let's talk about the coach's status. And I don't think that's going to happen with one loss to Cal this week. I think you can put that, even if you lose badly, I don't think it opens up that can of worms. That's all. That's what I'm saying. Like, the worst case this week is not that bad. If you lose, it's just going to be a loss.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
Maybe another way to put it is that this is kind of a house money kind of week. Like they're playing with house money, which sounds like silly to say because they only beat Idaho State, which is basically, you're beating a mediocre high school team, but by virtue of doing it, you're kind of playing with house money this week. So that's basically what I'm saying. Like if you win, the ceiling is really high, but if you lose, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I don't disagree with you at all. If they lose and it's close, no big deal. But if they were to get blown out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That to me would be, I don't know. If they got blown out, that to me would be.
We'd have questions. We'd have questions about like, is this team for real? Like, because Idaho State is game would become inconsequential at that point. The two games I think would cancel each other out. You'd be saying, oh, well, you blew out a bad team. And then you got your butts kicked by a real team. So we'd go back to basically the preseason questions we had about UNLV, which is like, how good are they really? You know, can they win three or four games, whatever the over under was before the season? Like we'll have all the same questions we had in the preseason. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's a possibility, but I don't think that's that bad. I don't think that's the I don't think that's such a horrible scenario for this team. You know, like, you know, they, if they go out there and lose in a blowout, they deserve to be questioned. So it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. 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 Hey, also UNLV related, and totally shifting gears here, but the basketball schedule was released, and I know a lot of people were underwhelmed with the lack of quality opponents. The best game is the one, the showcase game here, and other than that,
you talking about Dayton or Washington State?
Washington State, yeah.
Okay. Well, San Francisco made the tournament last year, but I don't think they're projected to be as good this season. I'm kind of scanning through the schedule now. Yeah, it's pretty thin if you're looking for marquee matchups.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I just don't know. I hate to say this, but I'm kind of like, I'm used to like the Dave Rice type of schedule. You know what I'm saying? Where play Arizona or, you know what I'm saying?
No, I hear you. That was kind of my first reaction too, is like, and Kevin Kruger all off season had been saying like, we're going to build a schedule that can allow us to be an at-large team. We're going to play quality opponents. And I look at the schedule, I don't really see that. I think I think it also maybe depends on the context, because if you say that, if you make those statements and you're like the coach of Wyoming,
mm-hmm.
then maybe this schedule is that for you. Like, this is the kind of schedule that Wyoming can play. And you can say, this is our at-large schedule. We're going to give it our best shot. But if you're the head coach of UNLV, making those statements means something entirely different to this community and this fan base. Mm-hmm. Because when you say that, these people get visions of, you know, North Carolina, UCLA, Oregon. Like, they envision you playing this, you know, schedule that's got marquee matchups and exciting games. And, oh, look at that home game. We got to go to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the schedule is that. I think it's a schedule that's designed to get them to 10 or 11 wins in the non-conference, mm-hmm. position them to win 20 overall. And depending on what happens in the Mountain West tournament, maybe you can qualify for an NIT or something like that.
And it's just tough. The team hasn't been to a tournament in so long. That I think people just want to find a pathway to get there, right? And the fact that
it
doesn't look like a great pathway, I think is an eye opener. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that. And then you look at, was it Wyoming last year that sort of did something like this? They had a very weak, or maybe it was Colorado State, where they had a very weak non-conference schedule, but you go undefeated and all of a sudden you're like 12-0 and it's Christmas and you're creeping up into the rankings and all of a sudden you're ranked 24th in the country because you're perfect. You haven't lost yet. So maybe UNLV is trying to do something like that.
Yeah.
Which is that's a one viable way to approach it, but it's just not what people here expect when you tell them we're going to play a good schedule this year. That's not sort of their version of it, but I guess that's what Kevin Kruger believes is the best way to get them back into the tournament.
Sure. Well, Michael B at Cal this week and everybody. So make sure you follow our coverage in the Sun and at sun.com. This is another edition of the Rebel Room, and I will talk to everybody soon, and Mike will talk to everybody on Saturday. Thank you guys so much, and thank you, Michael, for your time.